Good morning, everyone. This is Pastor Dave of International Baptist Church in Stuttgart, Germany. Today, I thought I'd just preach from my own home and share with you the final verses and the final bit of the story of Acts. We've been in Acts for several months, and it's been a very beneficial study to see how the Holy Spirit led the church and how He's continuing to lead us today. The Bible says that the scriptures are given to us in order to encourage us and give us endurance and also wisdom and knowledge. We are built up by the word of God and strengthened. And so this story, although it's history, it is very beneficial to our souls. Let me just say a few words about these writings, because I think it's important. Now, the title of the sermon is Paul, The Last View of a World Changer. This is the last objective view or third-party view we have of Paul. It's not necessarily objective because it's written by one of his companions, someone who had been with him and knew him and loved him. It's written by Luke. Now, Luke, according to tradition, was a Gentile, not a Jew. He was from Syria. He was one of Paul's companions, and he was also called a physician. So he had some medical training for that day and age. But he had a very investigative mind. It's very interesting to see how he described miracles and how he described historical events when he tells the story of Jesus. And also as he tells the story of the early church, he's describing what's going on in the world around him. So he's a very interesting author. But these were not merely the words of a human author. These were inspired of the Spirit. So we have something beneficial to our own hearts and lives in this teaching. Now, the book of Luke's Gospel and the book of Acts, those are really two volumes of the same story. And if we look at them together, they begin and end in a similar way. That is, some scholars describe it this way, it is though there's a great storm that comes. And the beginning of Luke's Gospel describes a community before the storm. And then at the end of the book of Acts, it describes the community after the storm. But the beginning of the storm, before the storm begins, we see simple situations, simple lies. The story begins with Zacharias and Elizabeth, the parents of John the Baptist, and then Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus, shepherds, Simeon and Anna. A very simple story told in smaller settings. But then the wind picks up, the clouds come in, and it seems like the rain begins to fall. The multitudes appear and miracles and opposition as well. And then the story builds into a great crescendo, as like a storm with a tremendous rainfall and the wind and the crescendo of the cross and the resurrection. And for a brief period in this story, it seems like the storm has abated. The storm of grace has abated. But then they realize that really we're just in the eye of a hurricane, and soon in Acts the storm continues, that it picks up again with the coming of the Holy Spirit, the expansion of the church, the persecution of the church, these great movements among people. But now we come to the final two chapters of Acts, and again, it's a real storm, almost metaphoric for the whole experience. And Paul and his companions survive that storm. But it comes down again to a simple story. One person, Paul, a prisoner, waiting in Rome, sharing his faith. And we see again the after effect. Well, after this storm of grace has come through the world, things do not go back to normal. In fact, the Apostle Paul is a great testimony of someone to this story to end with, because he had been a persecutor of the church, and he had been changed. Everything about him had changed. And after the storm of grace has come into the world cannot go back as to what it was. Everything is different. Now, we're in the days of the coronavirus lockdown. And people have talked about, won't it be great when we get back to normal? But what the experts are telling us is there is no going back to normal. There will be a new normal, but things are not going to go back to exactly as they were before. Well, that's what we have with Paul's life, that after Christ comes, after Christ saves him, Paul is radically changed. In fact, the whole world is changed after the life and death and resurrection of Christ and the coming of the Spirit and the expansion of the church. There is a new normal, but there's no going back to a pre Christ world. But in these final chapters, we see, really the last chapter, we see four titles that Paul wore. He says in 1 Corinthians 15:10, "By the grace of God, I am what I am." And we see the result of this gospel was that he now looked at every situation different. Well, these four titles that we see he wears in these last few verses is, first of all, a prisoner, but also Paul the servant, Paul the brother, and Paul the evangelist. First of all, let's look at Paul the prisoner. For many years of Paul's life, he was a prisoner. We do not know how many, but it's at least four, if not five or six. Now, there's been two different traditions according to the interpreting the scripture, the historical data of scripture. I'm of the opinion that probably the lead case, and most Bible scholars that I study, they agree with this, that the lead case is that Paul was released after this first imprisonment, that he saw a Nero and he would have been released. This would have been in the early 60 AD, like 62, 63 AD, something like that. And Paul was released. He went back out to evangelize. But in 2 Timothy, he talks about his first defense, which would have been his first appearing before Caesar. Then he talks about that he is a prisoner again, and it seems now to be more serious. And this would have been after 64 A.D., 60, probably 66, 67 A.D. What happened in 64 A.D.? Something that changed the Roman view of the church and of Christians. That is the burning of Rome. 64 AD, when Nero was the emperor, Rome burned, and it burned for 10 days, and two-thirds of the city were destroyed. Well, Nero blamed Christians for setting the fire, and so during Nero's time in 64 AD, there was the first Roman imperial persecution of Christians. And that meant all over the Roman world, Christianity would be outlawed and Christians would be sought after and persecuted. And in those days, Paul, as a leader of the Christian faith, would have been arrested if he was still alive, would have been arrested and then brought to trial and would have been found guilty. And tradition has it that he and Peter and several others as well, who were recognized leaders, would have been sought throughout the empire, Roman Empire, and they would have been arrested and persecuted. So for several years, though, Paul wore this title, prisoner. He was a victim of circumstance, but he did not define himself that way. It's very interesting. He did not define himself that way. He said in chapter 27, he's speaking to the passengers on the ship. He describes himself in this way. He said, talked about an angel coming of the God whose I am and whom I serve. And he saw himself in that way. First of all, he belonged to Christ. He belonged to the biblical God, Christ that saved him, and he belonged to him. Secondly, he served the God that he belonged to. Now, those are two things, to belong to God and to serve God. Some people, they say, "I belong to God," but they don't serve God. And some people try to serve God in order to belong to him, thinking they can earn their salvation, but that's not possible. But Paul said it right. He belonged to God, and he served God. That's how we should be. So even in prison, he saw himself not necessarily as a prisoner, but as a servant of God. He refused to let his circumstances define him. Now, it's very interesting to see what Paul taught about this very issue. To the Corinthians, he wrote this. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 21 through 23, just a snippet of that passage. He said that we believers, he said, we are having nothing but in Christ owning everything. So he rose above his circumstance. Through Christ, he rose above his circumstance and realized that his circumstance did not limit the power of God or did not change who he was for all eternity. And God could take care of him and provide for him even in that situation. To the Philippians, he wrote in chapter 4, Philippians, verses 11 through 13, he says, "I have learned And that shows a spiritual lesson he had learned. Not just he had claimed, but he had learned through faith and through study and through prayer and through experience. I have learned in whatever state I am therewith to be content. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Now, we may choose not to remain victims of our own circumstances. No one is obscure if God knows them, if they know God. No one is poor if he belongs to Christ. We Christians, we own everything. No one is cast aside if God can use him. So whatever your circumstances are, here's an example from Paul. Put your circumstances in the hands of God and let him do with them as he wishes. But your circumstances do not define you. Christ defines you. Faith in Christ changes everything. Now, the second thing, second title he wore, and the second thing we see about him is Paul the Servant. The ship broke apart on the shores of Malta, and in chapter 28 of Acts, verse 1, it says this, "Once safely on shore, we found out that the island was called Malta. The islanders showed us unusual kindness. They built a fire and welcomed us because it was raining and cold." So there's 276 people all gathered around a fire that the Maltans had built for them, showing some compassion. But it says this, "Paul gathered a pile of brushwood, and as they put it on the fire, a viper, driven out of the heat, fastened itself on his hand." Well, here it describes Paul as simply doing what Christians do, being a servant, helping others. They had built a fire, but he was like others. He said, "I'm going to help this effort also." And that says a lot about his character. He was a servant. In fact, as he had being a servant, a serpent attached itself on his hand. Now, it says this in verse 4, "When the islanders saw the snake hanging from his hand, they said to each other, 'This man must be a murderer, for though he has escaped from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live.' But Paul shook the snake off into the fire and suffered no ill effects. The people expected him to swell up or suddenly fall dead, but after waiting a long time and seeing nothing unusual happen to him, they changed their minds and said he was a god." Here, Paul describes the view of the islanders, and they were looking at him. They had not seen these people before, and they were looking at Paul and wondering what type of person he was. But it shows a heart of Paul to simply serve. Now, I love this quote from Martin Luther King, Jr. We're in a day of also civil unrest in this time, and Martin Luther King, Jr. endured a very difficult situation, brought about changes in America and changes throughout the world through peaceful demonstrations. But I love his insights. He says many, many great things, and to look at his quotes is a very helpful thing. Here's what he said. He said, "Everyone can be great because anybody can serve." Isn't that great? Anybody can serve. You don't have to have a college degree to serve. You don't have to make your subject and verb agree to serve. You only need a heart full of grace, a soul generated by love. Now, the scripture says, and Paul himself wrote, "Let us do good to all people as we have opportunity." And there was showing a heart of a servant. Again, Martin Luther King, he said this, "Love is the only force capable of transforming an enemy into a friend." Just because you serve an enemy doesn't mean he'll be your friend, but there's nothing that can do that like love can. There's nothing that can do that like a heart of service that reaches out to them. Now, it's interesting that we see Paul doing this, because Paul, as a Pharisee, had been brought up and trained and schooled as an elitist. The Pharisees thought they were better than other people. He thought he was better than their fellow Jews. That was what the Pharisees believed. So here he is in a Gentile place on Malta, and his upbringing would have said, "These people are beneath you." But yet there he is, helping them, serving them. In fact, we read not only did he put wood on the fire, but after this, when they saw he did not die, then the Publius, the leader of that town, of that place, he invited Paul to come and see his father who was sick. And then many others came, and Paul healed Publius' father and healed many others on the island, simply doing good as God had enabled him to do good. But Paul could have also said, "I'm a prisoner held against my will. It's not my problem. I'm a prisoner. You drugged me here." Now, some would say, well, maybe the prisoners were compelled. Paul to do this, but Luke never mentions it. It seems like what Paul did was completely by his own will and desire. And he could have said, look, it's your fault they're in this mess. Remember, I warned you not to take this voyage. And he had. He warned them, don't do this. But it didn't matter whose fault it was or whose fault it wasn't, whether he was a prisoner or not. First, he was a Christian, and he rose above his circumstance by being a servant. That's what Christians do. Again, let me look back at this quote by Martin Luther King Jr. Everybody can be great because anybody can serve. Isn't that great? We can help others. Now, when hearts are hard, when people are difficult, when circumstances seem hopeless, when doors are closed, love people anyway in the name of Christ. That's the best hope of the world, is that Christians will simply love in spite and be gracious in spite. Now, the third title that we see Paul wearing here in this setting is Paul the Brother. We read on in this 28th chapter. We come to verse 13. We see verse 11, they finally left Malta and they began going up the coast to Rome, and they came to a place just right next to to Naples. It's called Puteoli, and the Bible, I think it's Puteoli is what it's called today, and right next to Naples. And I'm sure I mispronounced that. But he arrives there, and it says in verse 13, it says, from there we set sail and arrived at Regium. And the next day, south wind came, and the following way we reach Puteoli, there we found some brothers who invited us to spend a week with them, and so we came to Rome. The brothers there had heard that we were coming, and they traveled as far as the Forum of Appius and the Three Taverns to meet us. At the sight of these men, Paul thanked God and was encouraged. Now, it's very interesting that Paul admits that he needed the brothers. He needed the brothers. He needed a community. He had some companions with him, but he had written to the church in Rome saying he wished he could be with them and that they could be mutually encouraged by one another. And he realized his need of Christian companionship. Well, here we see some sweetness and some tenderness to Paul's character. He knew that as a Christian, he was not merely called to believe. He was also called to belong to a family of believers, a family of faith. So it encouraged him. It encouraged him that he could be with these brothers and sisters. Friends, this says something to us as well. We see Paul encouraged by these brothers. And friend, we need the encouragement of the Christian family as well. There's no Christian that God ever intended to stand all by himself. And here we see this great man, Paul the Apostle, this great man who had endured years of imprisonment and shipwrecked, and of course more than just this shipwreck, we read from his writings, endured persecution, but still he knew he needed encouragement. He knew he needed brothers to encourage. In fact, as we read about his writing, we see many people who helped him. Epaphroditus, Timothy, Epaphras, and many others he mentions in his writings. These were relationships he depended upon, and he could not have been who he became. He could not have done what he did without the support and the love of the Christian community. It says, as we read on, that Paul was allowed to live by himself with a guard. But that guard was from Rome. That was the only thing Rome provided. Paul had to pay for his own house, had to pay for his own food and lodging. And, of course, as a prisoner, he could not work. So he depended on the believing community to send him help, to give him enough means to live. And he stayed there for at least 2 years in that setting, and possibly even longer. We really don't know exactly how long. But still, we see how much he knew he needed Christians. There is no Christian who doesn't need other Christians. And one of the things you see in the Christian community, when you see someone who has taken a great stumble in his Christian walk, when you see a believer who's given into a sin, who's caught up in a sin, almost always you'll see that person has a loneliness to their life. Either no one offered them fellowship or they rejected what was offered. And we need one another to be strong. The Christian family is not merely an irritation or something that just we happen to have. It is something we need to have. I need you, you need me, and we need one another. The Christian is to belong to a family. So let me ask you, are you meaningfully connected to a church? Are you meaningfully connected to a group of Christians? I see many people, they come and they sit, and I can almost see them. Sometimes they come because their spouse is involved, and the spouse comes. Maybe it's the husband, maybe it's the wife, but one sits there and is engaged. The other one sits there and kind of just is there. Maybe they're supporting it, supporting that other spouse. But I see there's something missing in that person's life. He doesn't have Christian friends. He doesn't have a meaningful connection to other believers. And friend, we all need this. We all need to be encouraged. We need to be built up by the spiritual gifts God gives others. And we all need to be taught. We all need to help one another serve. Well, this is part and parcel of being a follower of Christ, being part of a family. So let me encourage you to get involved in the church. Get involved, not just that you attend and have merely acquaintances that are Christians, but that you get involved with other people, that you talk to them, you call them, and you connect with them. Now, the final title we see the Apostle Paul using in this, or displaying in this final chapter of Acts, is the title of evangelist, or I may just call him simply apostle. We see he goes to the Jews and shares again the gospel with the Jews there in Rome. And we see him calling them brothers also, by the way, reaching out to them compassionately, loving them. The gospel changed his affection. He was not the same person. He loved people, even if they did not love him in return. He loved them for the sake of Jesus. But the story ends this way in verse 30 and 31. It says this, for two whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. Boldly and without hindrance, he preached the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's one of those statements that's filled with meaning and significance. First of all, we see how much he needed the church to support him because he was a prisoner, but he had to rent his own house and stay there. So he had people that cared for him, and they helped him. They invested in his ministry because he could not have done what he did without their support. But it says he welcomed all who came to see him. Whoever came, he welcomed them. And as an evangelist, he welcomed them not just in voice, but also with the gospel, sharing with them as best he could. He warmly received people. Now we see that he put his whole ministry in the hands of God because he could not go out and recruit people. He had to depend on who was going to come and see him. But he welcomed them and trusted the Lord to send him people that God would send according to God's will that he could touch with the gospel. And it says that boldly and without hindrance, he preached the gospel. That phrase, without hindrance, says a lot about this whole story and about the whole work of God, even to this day, that the gospel itself is unhindered. The gospel itself, when we preach it and share it, it has the power in it to touch anybody and everybody in the world. The Spirit inspires the preaching of it, and he convicts hearts as it is proclaimed. In fact, we see that from the book of Philippians, another prison epistle, Paul spoke about a movement that started among the imperial guard, the people that were guarding him, that he was able to share with them the gospel. Many of them became believers and his own brothers. In fact, many have commented that in that setting with the guard chained to Paul, Paul chained to the guard, it's not really clear at all who the real prisoner was. They may have felt more prisoners than Paul was. But still, he used his opportunities for Christ, and he shared with them. Now, he preached about the kingdom of God. Now, that's about righteousness and the rule of God. He did not merely preach grace. Sometimes grace is abused because it's preached without preaching the lordship of Christ and the issues related to the kingdom of God and the rule of God and righteousness. And Paul never did that. When he preached the gospel, he gave it freely. Anybody can be saved, not in our own works, turning our lives to Christ. But the truth of the gospel also must be attached to the truth of the kingdom of God and the rule of God in this world by being Lord of our lives. So we preach both of those truths. Not that you would just receive Christ, but if you receive Christ, you receive not just a Savior, but also a Lord. And he will change your heart and your life and your priorities. But he taught also about the Lord Jesus Christ. He could not exhaust the subject. He kept teaching and teaching about this. Well, this last picture of Paul, the last picture of a world changer, tells us how we can be a world changer in our situation. We can, first of all, determine to rise above our circumstances. Whatever circumstance you're in, do not let those circumstances limit you or define you. If you're a believer, you're a child of God. That's really who you are. Secondly, be a servant. God calls us to be servants, and faith in Christ will lead us to be servants, helping people and serving them. Thirdly, the Christian faith means we should be meaningfully connected with other Christians and get to know them, encourage them, let them encourage us, pray for one another, support one another. We need one another's prayers. We need one another's loves. We need one another's understanding and support. And finally, to let God use you as he will, whatever spiritual gifts he has given you, but let it all point back to Christ. Whether it's to share the faith with others or merely demonstrate the faith with others, let God use you. But every Christian can be a witness. Every Christian can talk about what Jesus has meant to them. And God can use any and every Christian to do that. I pray this message would encourage you in the faith. I pray that you could see God's work in Paul also would be what the same Spirit is doing in your life. And I pray that God will bless you. If you're not a believer in Christ, let me invite you to trust in him as your Savior. Say, Lord, I admit that I'm a sinner. I need your forgiveness. And I believe that you died on the cross and you rose from the grave. If you are a Christian, but you're not living for Christ, you're like I said at the beginning, that you know you belong to God, but you're not serving him. Well, let me encourage you to belong to him and also to serve him. Let me encourage you to do both of those things. Say, Lord, I belong to you. Because I belong to you, I want to live my faith in a responsible, meaningful way. If I can help you in any way, please feel free to write to me, pastor@ibcstuttgart.de. I pray that God would bless you. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the last few verses in this wonderful story of the book of Acts. And Lord, it really doesn't end with Paul, because this story has continued even to this day. Your Spirit is still at work in our hearts and our lives, and you are still writing your history in people's lives to this day. Lord, we pray that you would help us to grow from this, help us to rise above our circumstances, to be servants in your name, to encourage one another, to embrace the family of faith, and also, Lord, that we would see the mission you have given us and let us follow that mission, fulfill your plan for us in your power. We thank you for your grace. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. I pray that God would bless you. Thank you for listening.